Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Jenkins Church. Today's a special day. It's our Friends Day today at Jenkins, and we are going to take a minute and meet all of our visitors today. But we gather in the name of Jesus. We enter into God's gate with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We're just going to take a minute to recognize our first-time visitors and friends that have come along today. And we'll just break it down by section. It looks like we have a lot of nice new faces here today. So let's just start over here. And please stand if you're a first-time visitor or if you came as a friend today. Oh, yeah, okay. I'll just put y'all on the spot. Larry said y'all didn't have to stand up, but I say you do. So, okay. Since I did it anyway. Okay, a whole lot. And what we'll do is we'll have the guest or the person who invited you to introduce you. Sister? Oh, that's fun. Her and Tucker are like each other. Welcome, y'all. Thank you for coming.
Good job, Linda.
Brought your friends. Bonnie, thank you for coming today.
This is Lenny and Sherry Pidwell, and they come as my friends.
Oh, yeah,
so
do.
We welcome them.
Thank you for coming today. Hi, thank you for coming. Mary Beth, would you like to introduce someone?
My brother and my sister-in-law.
Not being
here before.
Oh, well, we're just so glad that y'all came today. Thank you. Well, you know, it's friends or it's first-time visitors or friends day. So, and we'll just go, well, let's go right over here. And if you are a friend or a first-time visitor, please stand up. And then, again, we'll have whoever invited you to introduce you. No?
Starts back. Cherry.
Oh, hi, Cherry.
This is my best friend, Sharon and Larry Barber. They live here on your
floor. Oh, thank y'all for coming today. Is that it? Wow, all these adult sections regulars?
Good. Been here before.
And in the center, please stand up if you're a first-time visitor or if you came as a friend today. That's great.
This is my friend, Ben Whalen.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for coming.
This is my aunt, Dawn Hicks.
Hi, Dawn. Oh.
Noah Spring, she's dad.
Oh, thank you for coming today, y'all. Hi, Lucas. Thanks for coming today. Well, that's fun. Everybody, thank you for coming today and joining us. We're going to just go to, I'm just going to refer you to the bulletin for announcements. The only thing outstanding today to mention is that there will not be any services on Wednesday night. There will not be play practice for the children's Christmas play. We did that this morning. And also dinner. We will not be serving dinner on Wednesday night. And so no Wednesday night services for preparation of Thanksgiving. And is there anything else that we need to announce?
Well, tonight, Thanksgiving supper for the total church. Bring anything but meat. Thanksgiving supper for the total church. Bring anything but meat. We got about
hard bread and Don't bring dressing.
Oh, don't bring dressing, yeah.
Don't bring meat, dressing, or rolls, but
or
side
drink.
Dishes.
Side dishes.
We need side dishes.
And a potluck or whatever.
And dessert.
Dessert. Bring some dessert. And Bill Levin is responsible for many of the turkeys getting here. And the men of some of the men of the church are going to fry them, and then some are being baked. And so we're going to have a lot of turkey, and we're just going to have a good time. At the end of that, the finance committee will, as normal, run through the proposed budget for 2005. Okay. Tuesday night at Concord Grandview Baptist Church, the corner of Burkett and
Pettit.
Corner of Pettus and Nova Road, we'll have a community Thanksgiving service, and that's at 7 o'clock, and we will receive an offering there for Meal on Wheels. If you've brought your love loaf, you may place it on the altar. We will dedicate these next week, but just place it on the altar, and we'll take care of them until next week.
Are there any other announcements from anyone in the congregation?
Choir tonight is at
4:45,
so
5:45
should be
here.
Finish
the
Okay, so a little bit earlier.
4:45.
Okay. For the song after the offering, it will not be in the regular hymn book. There's a smaller hymn book. There's many of them in the pew. And that the song after the offering will be out of that hymn book, so we'll bring that to your attention. I got a prayer concern.
Okay, and then we're just going to move right into prayer requests, and also let's not forget our praise update. So, do you want to start?
Two sad situations. Brother Jesse Harry is in Southern Hills, been there a week, and they gave him hours. Did you hear anything this morning? Anybody hear anything this morning? Yesterday it was hours or days, and so just lift up the family there. Suzanne and Jerry are the children. Ms. Harris is still in the nursing home, and they got her Friday. They took her down to visit with him, but, you know, she's so limited in her mobility. Also, Mrs. Hazel Dancer, and Reverend Dancer was the pastor at Bellevue on 96 years ago, and then at Tusculum when these children that we have here from Tusculum were growing up. And Gloria is the dancer's daughter, and Gloria and her husband, Tommy Job, live here now. Ms. Dancer died this morning about 4 o'clock. The funeral will be in Lexington, Tennessee, sometime Tuesday, possibly Tuesday morning. That's the Hazel Dancer family. And so just lift that family up, and she broke a hip and all the complications that come with that, and she never got aroused good after that. So lift those families up. I think that's the ones that come to mind right now.
Does anyone else have someone they'd like to add to our prayer list? Talking of praise, it's Thanksgiving. I know there's got to be some praises here.
Yeah, Fran Leifer, though, they were in Florida. She got sick. They came home yesterday. They're not sure the details about Fran, but pray for Fran. It might be a small tumor, or they think it is.
Okay. Well, I do have a praise this week. I got overwhelmed with some stuff this week. And number one, my Bible study group, I love them so much. And I just kind of like, they were my rock this week, and my husband. But I got overwhelmed, and I was just all upset, and I forgot temporarily about letting God take care of things in our lives. And I was so just consumed, and I was upset, and I was angry, and I was just, it was just silly. And I finally realized, I just snapped out of it, and I said, I forgot. I'm supposed to take all this and put it in God's hands, and if I do that, I don't have the power to change it or make it better, but He does. And when I made that personal decision, I instantly was so relieved, and I felt so lifted up. And I'll tell you what, He's already, it's been fixed, or it's in a process of being fixed. And so just don't forget, when we feel overwhelmed, just remember it's not for us to control. And if you'll just trust God and put it in His hands, He will take care of it. So that's my praise for the week. And also, just want to let everyone know that please register in the registration booklet. If you are the beginning person, do write the date and the 10 o'clock service in the appropriate place, and everyone please register today. And now we are going to just pause for a moment of silent prayer. Please bow your heads. Amen. We offer praise to God. Our call to worship today is responsive. Please follow along in your bulletin. It's on the left side at the bottom of your bulletin. Make a joyful noise, all of the earth.
Bring forth joyous songs to the God of victory.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it.
May God number us with righteousness as we worship.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 559. And let's stop and do something here before we go. We've recognized the friends that we brought as our visitors, but we are also friends with people in this church. Sometimes we don't tell each other often enough that you're my friend. Thank you for being my friend. So if there's someone right now, Melanie, just play the first verse there. Somebody right now in here, just go to them right now if you want to. Tell them, hey, you're my friend. I appreciate you. Okay, do it right now.
And you are my friend.
You are my friend.
All righty, hymn 559. That was great. Larry is my friend. He says he only got three friends, and they were all here at 8 o'clock. But here we go.
Come, 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 raise the sound of our come. All is facing gathering, and our winter storms begin. God, our Maker, doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God, don't give or come. Raise the sound of harvest home. All the world is God of him, who unto his praise to lead. We prepare unto joy our sorrow grow. First the blame and then the ear, then the hope who shall appear. What a harvest grant that be, wholesome grain and good may be.
And the last verse.
Even so, Lord, quickly come to my final harvest home. Gather round my people
bow your heads as we pray together. Lord, you have called us to worship you in truth and in spirit. And that is our desire, O Lord, to be obedient to your word this morning. So we pray for the leadership of your spirit in our lives in every aspect of this worship experience. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you that you call us to worship. And Father, we remember in your word where Jesus said if the disciples didn't offer praise, even the rocks would. And then we read from this psalm in our call to worship, O Lord, where you talk about the sea roaring and praise to you. And Lord, we thank you that we can be a part of your creation and that we can come together with all of creation, all of nature, and offer glory and praise to you. And Lord, we thank you that you called us to be in charge. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be faithful to that responsibility. And Father, just bless us as people that we might be careful to treat your earth and its other inhabitants with respect and honor as would be fitting as we learn in your word. Lord, we thank you for Thanksgiving, a time set aside. And we thank you that we have so much to be thankful for. But Lord, we thank you also that in all circumstances, you have taught us to be thankful. Thankful for your presence, Lord. Thankful for your help. Thankful for your blessing. And Father, we especially thank you for Jesus Christ. And in His name, we offer ourselves, we offer this worship, and we come praying, even as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
And if you did not close your book, you can look over on the next page. If you did, it's hymn 560. For the beauty of the earth.
we express our faith in God through our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Father,
Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Virgin Mary, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He ascended to Hades.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven
and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Now, if you will, please, to hymn 473. A lot of music today, so let's sing the first verse only, 473. And I believe we're going to have to stand. I don't know if you like it or not, but I can't hardly sit down and sing this song.
Thank you.
time. If the children would please join Miss Andrea down on the step. And afterwards, Children Church is available right today, so they can either join you back or go into Children's Church.
Okay.
We express our thanks to God through our offerings. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Proverbs 22:9. Can our ushers please come forward?
At least we've used it in camps, church camps. And And I know that you already know it. Now, the reason for that is because let's say it's so loud at 8 o'clock this morning, and wherever you were, you're bound to hear it. Okay? So, it's really a good song, and we're going to sing two verses and three choruses. So, we're going to start with a chorus and then sing two of the verses. We're going to sing the first and last, and then, of course, at the end. So, that's how we're going to do it. We're just going to jump right into it. Like I said, I know you already know it. No. A chorus, a verse, a chorus, a verse. All right. And we're going to have video.
Shine, Jesus, light, filling the land with the Father's glory. Thank you, the faith, and the heart of God.
Scripture lesson today comes from John 15:9-17 and Romans 5:6-8. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, which lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. You see, at just the right time, when we were all still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Thanks to Kelly and thanks to the choir, Sam, all of you. Friends, we're glad that you're here and can share in this experience with us. It makes our day joyful. We invite friends because we like friends, but we believe that we have something as Christians to share with those who are may not be a part of a church on a regular basis. And then some of us ran short of friends, and we had to go out and bring people from other churches in. So the idea is to bring people from that are unchurched. That's the perfect way to do Friend Day. But some of us got limited in friends, and we're glad that if you came from you who came from another church, that you're here to share with us today also. Friends, some time ago, a British newspaper had a contest where they'd offer a prize for the best definition of a friend. Think about that. How would you define a friend? Numerous submissions came in. Numerous people submitted their definition of friend. But the winning definition, I guess, according to the editor, possibly the one that he liked the most, or the owner of the paper, that's usually the way that works. This is the one that came out on top. A friend. A friend is there when no one else is. Or let me put it, a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. The whole world has abandoned you. And this one person, or this friend, comes to stand with you, or to sit with you, to be your friend, to uphold you. A friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. Think about that. The one who is there with you when all else, everybody else, has abandoned you. A small boy defined a friend as someone who knows all about you and likes you just the same. Warts and all, I guess, huh? C.S. Lewis said a friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." The opposite of friendship, and sometimes we can learn from looking at something opposite of what we need to learn. I remember as a youngster, preacher preaching, and he'd say, "This is what this does not say, so this is what this does not say, or what I'm not trying to say." Little joke that I read, two men were out hunting big game in the northern United States. They were out in the woods, they were kind of relaxing, and one yelled, and the other looked up, and he saw a grizzly bear charging at them. The first man started frantically to put on his tennis shoes. And his buddy asked, "What are you doing? Don't you know that you cannot outrun a grizzly bear?" And his partner replied, "I don't have to outrun a grizzly. I just have to outrun you." And Rodney Dangerfield of I Don't Get No Respect fame spoke of his lack of friends, and he complained to his dad, "Dad, nobody likes me." And his dad, trying to comfort him maybe, or trying to tell the truth, says, "Don't say that. Everybody hasn't met you yet." Think of that one. Of course, Rodney Dangerfield meant that as a joke, and he made a life of getting no respect or complaining about it. But many people feel just like that, that nobody likes them. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel that nobody likes them. A Bible character complained, "No man cares for my soul. No man cares for my soul. Nobody likes me. I don't have any friends." And it's not uncommon in today's world for people to feel that way. It's like being lonely in a crowd. You can be in a crowd and be lonely. But everybody has one friend. And Andrea has talked about it to the children this morning. The fact is, and yes, it's fact, Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, the one sent from God, Jesus is the friend of all people. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus is a friend even to those who don't want to be His friend. He still is their friend. He loves us all. He even likes us all. He may not like what we do or how we act, but He likes us. And He loves us. Look at your scripture lesson, if you will. You have a copy there before you. You can follow in the Bible if you like. John chapter 15. That's the way we listed them. That's the way we'll follow this morning, if you will. Jesus is talking to the disciples. I'm assuming, didn't do a deep study of this passage. I've read this passage so many times. John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. We've got to stay connected with Jesus. But this part of John 15 is about friendship and His friendship. He's talking to the disciples, but He says, "As the Father," and He's talking about God the Father. Do I need to explain that? God the Father, "as God our Heavenly Father has loved me, so have I loved you." That's what He's saying to those, possibly those 12, but maybe that 120 that was followed Him around even to the end. But those who were with Him, disciples. "As God the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." Now, how much does God love us? And how much does Jesus love us? Think about that. I've been thinking about it. God loves us enough. That might be a good place to stop. Does God love us enough? But how much enough? What are we talking about? How much is enough? God loves us enough to send His only Son from the glories of heaven, the splendor of heaven, the peace, the contentment, the royalty of heaven, and all that heaven is. And I don't know what all it is. We have a little glimpse in God's Word. But He loves us enough to send His only Son from heaven to earth, where this Son, Jesus, would take the punishment due us for our sin. See, the soul that sinneth shall die. That's law. That's the way it is. Somebody's got to die for sin. And God sent Jesus to die for our sin, taking our sin upon His body because He loves us so much. And because He has died for our sin, then we who believe in Him, trust Him, we who believe in Him can be forgiven. Our sin is taken away through our faith in Him. And we are given eternal life with God. And are promised an eternity, this eternity, in heaven with God. And Jesus, though He died, He didn't stay dead, you know. He rose after the third day, having paid the penalty for our sin. He rose to new life, walked on the earth for 40 days, then ascended to heaven to be with the Father. And He had said in John chapter 14 that He was going to go back to the Father and prepare a place for us, that where He was, we might come also. That's how much God loves us. To send His Son to earth to live among the people, to gain no respect, hardly any respect from the people on the earth, even to His own people He went to and they would not have Him. The first chapter of John tells us of this. Back in the book of Isaiah, it was prophesied how He was rejected or would be rejected of men. He left the glory of heaven, where He was at the right hand of God, and He left that to come to earth. Are we getting really theologically sound? He was God Himself, and He put on flesh and blood and came in the form of a baby in a humble stable in a little town called Bethlehem. And He came to earth and lived and then died for us, facing rejection, facing false charges, facing death that He did not deserve, that we deserve. That's how much God loves us. That's how much Jesus loves us. And then, as He says to the disciples, "As my Father has loved me, so I love you," He moves on to say, "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." So, as we receive God's love through Jesus Christ, it becomes our responsibility to pass that love on. As we have been loved, we are called on to love by God's Son, by the One who loved us enough to save us from sin and from the penalty of sin, spiritual death, and an eternity in the presence of Satan, in what I like to call, and the Bible calls it this, the pit. That's a nice word for hell. "My command is this," He said to us, to those disciples, but it comes down to us: love each other as I have loved you. How much does Jesus love us? He loves us a lot. Enough, let me repeat, He loves us enough to die for us. Look at it, verse 13 in your lesson. The passage from John. Then Jesus spoke, telling us what the greatest expression of love is. How can you really show that you love somebody? What's the greatest way, the highest way? What's the ultimate? If you want to show how much you love somebody, you go out and buy them a new car, you go out and buy them a diamond ring, a fur coat, new house. Well, that shows love. But the greatest way to show that we love someone is printed right there in verse 13. "Greater love hath no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's the ultimate. That's the top. That's the best. The highest expression of love. To lay down one's life for a friend. Now, remember the bear hunter? The one that was getting his city shoes on? He wasn't about to go that far. He wasn't about to sacrifice his life that his friend might live. At that point, when the bear was charging down upon them, I'm not sure that he even liked his hunting partner, much less loved him. He was thinking of himself. As you will, look at Romans chapter 5, the verses printed there. Here the Apostle Paul elaborates on how Jesus laid down His life for us, which shows Him to be the greatest friend that we could ever hope for. Verse 6. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, but to us, just at the right time, or at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. That's us without Christ. Verse 7, he kind of explains this. He says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. But then he distinguishes between righteous men and good men. Maybe, he says, for a good man, some would die. Do you know anybody that you would die for? Maybe your children, but other than your children, maybe your parents. For a good man, some might possibly dare to die. But here is God's love. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Matthew Henry, one Bible scholar from 2 or 3 centuries ago that I read, lived in the 1700s, but it'd be 3 centuries ago, I guess, 2.5. He commented on these verses. Hear these words. He says, of those for whom Christ died, that's us, for you and me, he says of us, in relation to Christ dying for us. Not only helpless creatures, and therefore likely to perish, but guilty, sinful creatures, and therefore deserving to perish. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And we'll talk about no, not one in a moment. Guilty, sinful creatures. Deserving to perish. For these kind of people, Christ died. People like you. People like me. Unrighteous people. Sinful people. Yes, Christ died for sinners. Neither righteous people nor good people. Not only such people as were useless, but such people as were guilty. While we were yet sinners, Christ died to save us from our sin. To take our sin away. In our place. In our stead. That's good news, isn't it? We talk about the gospel. Preaching the gospel. That's gospel. That's good news. Best news I know of. Jesus did the greatest thing that He could do for us. When He laid down His life for us. Johnson Oatman, do you know who he was? Johnson Oatman Jr., do you know who he was? Anybody know who Johnson Oatman Jr. was? Didn't think you did. He wrote a song. It's number 422 in your hymnal. We're not going to sing it, but if you want to look there, that's okay. I've used this song before. I've used this little story before. The name of the song is "No, Not One." The song "No, Not One" is so popular among churches that are side by side. Back in the old days, and I think of one little West Tennessee town, is either Tresvant or Atwood, and I keep getting those confused. There are four churches. One right here, next door is another one, next door is another one, next door is another one. Four churches lined up. And that was pretty common in some communities. I went down at Flat Creek in Bedford County. We had a Methodist church and a Cumberland Presbyterian church and somewhere, I think pretty close was the Baptist church. Well, before the day of the air conditioner and in the summertime, when it would be warm, they would raise the windows. And they would try to out-sing each other. So one day, one group, and it could be either group, you could tell the story about them all. Whether it ever happened, I don't know, but it fits real good. One group was singing this favorite hymn, "Will there be any stars in my crown, in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown?" Windows open next door to each other. The church over here responded with, "No, not one. No, not one." But that's not really what "No, Not One" is about. That Johnson Oatman wrote. Johnson Oatman wrote, listen to this. It talks about Jesus being our friend. There's not another one like him. And up at the top of this hymnal, a scripture that goes with this is John 15, so I'm right on target. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide us till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. The last verse, was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. While He, will He refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Not a one of us will He refuse a home in heaven if we come to Him. He says, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means coming in faith. Come and trust Him. He says He will in no wise cast out. Preacher always has to ask for a response. That's our responsibility and that's our privilege. I want two responses from you this morning. Ask for two responses. Responses to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. The first response we need is belief. Our trust. Trust in what Jesus has done for us. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Claim what He has done. Claim the salvation that He has provided. Claim the forgiveness that He has provided. The removal of guilt that He provides for us through our faith in Him. Don't let Jesus' sacrifice go to waste. Or don't let it be in vain. But don't let it be something that you cast away and think nothing about or ignore. Believe in Jesus, the best friend you'll ever have. Save you from Satan and sin. Save you unto God. And then there's a second response. And it's very biblical. That's biblical too, but this is very biblical too. Loving as He loved us. That's what He's asked us to do. He's asked us to do that. And lay down our life for Christ, Christ Jesus. Lay down our life for God the Father. Lay down our life for the kingdom, the work of the kingdom. Now there's two ways that we can lay down our life. Two ways that we can lay down our life.
If you've got that little outline that I provided for you, you can kind of make a note there. One way to lay down your life is by death. Give yourself as a martyr. Just not long ago, we heard of a woman in Iraq. She had even become a citizen of that country. She was there trying to help people. They killed her. A martyr. You got the Apostle Paul. You got all the apostles except John. They laid down their life. You got Stephen. Laid down his life. He was stoned to death. The first Christian martyr, Stephen, that we know about, recorded in the Bible.
And then there's another way. Another way to lay down our life in service. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans later. We've been looking at chapter 5, but in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, some practical use of what we learn in the first 11 chapters. Chapter 12 and following in Romans is how to put into practice what we learn in the first 11 chapters. That's generally speaking. And in chapter 12, verse 1, Paul writes, I urge you, brethren, I urge you, fellow Christians, I urge you, fellow Christians, I urge you, believers, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not as a martyr. We need living sacrifices. Holy. Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I looked up a bunch of little stories or humorous stories concerning a friend this week. Oh, you can find a million of them about friend. There is one about a little boy that I want to share. Got a lot more. A young boy was sent to the corner grocery store by his mother. An old illustration you know about that corner grocery store. He was gone much longer than it should have taken. Finally, he returned home and his mother asked, where have you been? I've been worried sick about you. Well, the little boy answered, there was another little boy with a broken bike who was crying. And I stopped and helped him. The mother responded, I didn't know that you knew anything about fixing bikes. The little boy responded to that, I don't. I just stayed there and cried with him. That's being a friend, isn't it? Any of you remember when Jackie Robinson made it to the big leagues? He was the first African American to play baseball in the major leagues. And he broke the color barrier. Hostile crowds gathered at every stadium. One day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error. These fans began to jeer. He stood at second base. He was humiliated. The crowd booed. But then, without saying a word, Pee Wee Reese went over and stood next to Jackie, put his arm around him, and faced the crowd. The fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that that arm around his shoulder is what saved his career. Being a friend. Standing with him. Standing with him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for sending Jesus to be our friend. To stand with us. To die for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having received your love, that we can pass it on, that you count us worthy of passing on your love. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amazing Grace is the song. Is it 202? We're going to sing 1, 2, and 4. Is that right? So we're going to stand together and sing 1, 2, and 4 of Amazing Grace. Maybe you have a response to make to the amazing grace of God. Maybe your response is a public response, and if so, I invite you to meet me here in the altar.
Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.